Before we dive in, I need to let you know that this entire episode is AI-generated, including the voices you're hearing right now. Today's show is brought to you by Quantum Clean Dishwasher Pods, the fictional cleaning product that uses imaginary quantum entanglement to remove stains. Completely made up, but wouldn't that be cool? Please fact-check anything important from today's discussion, as some details might not be perfectly accurate. I'm Sarah, and today we're exploring Carlo Rovelli's latest book, White Holes. I'm joined by Marcus, a theoretical physicist who specializes in quantum gravity research.
Thanks for having me, Sarah. This book has been generating quite a buzz in the physics community.
For listeners who might know Rovelli from his previous popular science books like Seven Brief Lessons on Physics, this one feels different. It's more focused, more speculative.
Exactly. Rovelli is tackling one of the most mysterious objects in theoretical physics, white holes. These are essentially the time-reversed version of black holes.
But here's what caught my attention. This isn't just a book about exotic physics objects. Rovelli is making a case that white holes might actually exist and be observable.
That's the provocative part. For decades, white holes have been mathematical curiosities. Rovelli argues they're real and might explain some puzzling astronomical observations.
What gives Rovelli the credibility to make such bold claims? Walk us through his background.
Rovelli is one of the founders of loop quantum gravity, which is one of the leading approaches to quantum gravity. He's not just a popularizer, he's doing cutting-edge research.
And he's written extensively about time, space, and the nature of reality. His work on relational quantum mechanics has been influential.
Right. So when he proposes that black holes might transform into white holes through quantum effects, he's drawing on decades of serious theoretical work.
The book exists because there's this fundamental puzzle in physics about what happens to information that falls into black holes. Rovelli thinks white holes might be the answer.
It's addressing what physicists call the black hole information paradox. When matter falls into a black hole, where does the information go? Does it just disappear?
And if it does disappear, that violates some fundamental principles of quantum mechanics. So Rovelli is trying to solve a real problem, not just engage in speculation.
Exactly. This book tackles a genuine crisis in our understanding of physics.
So let's dig into the central thesis. What exactly is Rovelli arguing about white holes?
His main claim is that black holes don't exist forever. Through quantum effects, they eventually transform into white holes, objects that spew matter out instead of sucking it in.
This is where it gets mind-bending. He's saying that what we observe as a black hole might actually be in the process of becoming a white hole.
The key insight is about time scales. From our external perspective, this transformation might appear to take an incredibly long time. But from the black hole's perspective, it could happen relatively quickly.
Rovelli draws on his work in loop quantum gravity to argue that space and time themselves are quantized, made up of discrete units rather than being continuous.
Quantization prevents the formation of true singularities. Instead of infinite density at the center of a black hole, you get what he calls a quantum bounce.
So the matter that collapsed to form the black hole doesn't disappear. It bounces back and eventually emerges as a white hole.
That's the elegant solution to the information paradox. The information isn't destroyed. It's just delayed in coming back out.
But why hasn't this been proposed before? What's different about Rovelli's approach?
Earlier approaches to quantum gravity often got bogged down in mathematical complexities. Rovelli's loop quantum gravity provides a cleaner framework for understanding what happens at the Planck scale.
He also emphasizes that general relativity and quantum mechanics are both incomplete theories. We need a unified theory to understand extreme conditions like black hole interiors.
The intellectual history here is fascinating. Einstein himself was uncomfortable with black holes, even though his equations predicted them.
And white holes have been known mathematically since the 1960s, but they were considered unphysical because they seemed to violate causality.
Rovelli's insight is that if you view white holes as the future evolution of black holes rather than separate objects, the causality problems disappear.
Now let's get into the practical frameworks. How does Ravelli actually model this black hole to white hole transition?
He uses what he calls the Einstein-Rosen bridge picture. Imagine a black hole as connected to a white hole through a kind of tunnel in space-time.
But here's the crucial part. This isn't a traversable wormhole like in science fiction. It's more like a one-way valve that eventually reverses direction.
Mathematics involves what's called a Schwarzschild space-time that's been modified by quantum effects near the center. Instead of a singularity, you get a smooth transition region.
Can you give us a concrete analogy for how this works?
Think of a waterfall flowing into a deep pool. Classical physics says the water just accumulates at the bottom. But quantum effects are like the pool having a hidden drain that eventually reverses and becomes a geyser.
The water represents matter and information falling into the black hole. The drain reversing is the quantum bounce that creates the white hole.
Exactly. And just like you wouldn't see the geyser immediately after the waterfall starts, the white hole phase comes much later in the black hole's evolution.
Ravelli provides specific mathematical tools for calculating when this transition might occur. It depends on the black hole's mass and the fundamental constants of nature.
For stellar mass black holes, the timescale is incredibly long, much longer than the current age of the universe. But for primordial black holes formed in the early universe, it could be happening now.
This is where the book gets observational. Ravelli suggests that some gamma ray bursts, the most energetic explosions in the universe, might actually be white holes turning on.
Gamma ray bursts have been mysterious since their discovery. We know they involve enormous amounts of energy being released very quickly. But the exact mechanism isn't always clear.
If primordial black holes formed shortly after the Big Bang are now transitioning to white holes, they would appear as sudden, intense sources of radiation appearing out of nowhere.
That matches some characteristics of gamma ray bursts. They appear randomly in the sky, release tremendous energy, and often don't leave behind obvious sources.
Another framework Ravelli uses is what he calls relational time. The idea that time is an absolute but depends on your reference frame.
This is crucial for understanding why we might see black holes as stable objects when they're actually in the process of transitioning to white holes.
From our external perspective, time appears to slow down near the black hole's event horizon due to gravitational time dilation.
So processes that happen quickly from the black hole's internal perspective appear to take forever from our external viewpoint. The transition to a white hole might be happening, but we can't see it yet.
There's also the question of how white holes would behave once they form. Ravelli describes them as fundamentally unstable objects.
Unlike black holes, which can exist indefinitely, white holes are transient. They explode outward, releasing all their stored matter and energy, then disappear.
This instability is actually a feature, not a bug. It explains why we don't see obvious white holes everywhere in the universe.
By the time we could observe a white hole, it would have already finished exploding and dispersed its contents. We might see the aftermath, but not the object itself.
So how would someone actually apply these ideas? Let's talk implementation. If you're an astrophysicist reading this book, what do you do with it?
The first step is to take Ravelli's predictions seriously and look for observational signatures. You'd start by analyzing gamma ray burst data differently.
Instead of assuming all gamma ray bursts come from colliding neutron stars or collapsing massive stars, you'd look for ones that might be white hole explosions.
The key difference would be in the energy spectrum and the lack of an obvious precursor object. White hole explosions should appear out of empty space.
Ravelli suggests looking at the cosmic microwave background radiation for subtle signatures of primordial black holes that later became white holes.
If the early universe produced many small black holes, and these are now transitioning to white holes, it should leave statistical patterns in the background radiation.
For theoretical physicists, the book provides a roadmap for calculating transition probabilities and timescales using loop quantum gravity methods.
You'd need to model how quantum geometry affects the interior of black holes. It's mathematically challenging, but Rovelli provides the conceptual framework.
The most important implementation step might be to stop thinking of black holes as endpoints and start thinking of them as temporary storage devices.
Shift in perspective could influence how we model galaxy formation, dark matter, and the long-term evolution of the universe.
But let's be honest about the challenges. How long would it take to test these ideas observationally?
Some tests could happen relatively quickly, within a decade or two, as our gamma ray detectors improve. Others might take much longer.
The smoking gun would be detecting a white hole explosion in real time, which would require incredibly sensitive instruments and a bit of luck.
Even then, you'd need to rule out all other possible explanations. Extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence.
What are the most common mistakes someone might make when trying to apply these ideas?
The biggest mistake is thinking this happens quickly from our perspective. Even for primordial black holes, the transition timescales are cosmological.
Another mistake is assuming white holes would be easily visible. They explode and disappear very quickly once the transition completes.
You also can't use classical general relativity to model the transition. You absolutely need quantum gravity effects, which makes the mathematics much more complex.
If you're not working directly in theoretical physics, how might this book change your thinking?
It's a powerful example of how seemingly impossible ideas can become plausible when you change your fundamental assumptions about space and time.
The key insight is that information and energy might be conserved in ways that aren't immediately obvious. What looks like destruction might actually be transformation.
If you only do one thing after reading this book, start questioning whether apparent endpoints are really final. Maybe they're just very slow transitions.
Now let's evaluate this critically. What does the book do brilliantly?
Rovelli's greatest strength is making highly technical concepts accessible without dumbing them down. He respects his reader's intelligence.
The book also does an excellent job connecting abstract mathematics to potentially observable phenomena. It's not just theoretical speculation.
And he's honest about the limitations. Rovelli admits these are still hypotheses that need testing, not established facts.
But where does the book overreach? What are its weak points?
The observational evidence is still quite thin. The connection between gamma ray bursts and white holes is plausible, but far from proven.
Some critics argue that Rovelli is too quick to dismiss alternative solutions to the information paradox. String theory offers different approaches.
The book also doesn't fully address how white hole explosions would affect their surrounding environment. The energy release would be enormous.
How does this work compare to other approaches to quantum gravity and the information paradox?
String theorists like Leonard Susskind argue that information is encoded on the black hole surface and slowly leaks out through Hawking radiation.
Rovelli's approach is more dramatic. Instead of slow information leakage, you get a complete information dump when the white hole explodes.
Both approaches preserve information conservation, but they make very different predictions about what we should observe.
The book could have done more to explain why loop quantum gravity is preferable to other quantum gravity approaches.
And it leaves out some important technical details about how the quantum bounce actually works. You need to read research papers for the full mathematics.
What should readers look for elsewhere to get a complete picture?
Leonard Susskind's work on the holographic principle and black hole complementarity offers a different perspective on information preservation.
And Lee Smolin's books on loop quantum gravity provide more technical background on the approach Rovelli is using.
For the observational side, readers should look up recent work on gamma ray bursts and primordial black holes in astronomy journals.
Let's talk about broader impact. How has this book influenced physics and popular understanding of black holes?
Still quite new, but it's already sparked debates at physics conferences. Some researchers are taking the white hole hypothesis more seriously.
The book has also reached beyond academic physics. Science journalists are writing about white holes as potentially real objects, not just mathematical curiosities.
It's part of a broader trend toward taking quantum gravity effects seriously in astrophysics. The field is becoming more open to radical possibilities.
What criticism has the book received?
Some physicists think Rovelli is being too speculative. They want to see more concrete predictions before accepting the white hole scenario.
Others worry that the book might oversell how close we are to testing these ideas. The observational challenges are enormous.
But even critics generally respect Rovelli's theoretical work and acknowledge that the ideas deserve serious consideration.
Looking ahead, what needs to happen for these ideas to gain broader acceptance?
We need better mathematical models that make specific, testable predictions. And we need more sensitive detectors to look for white hole signatures.
The field is moving in that direction. New gravitational wave detectors and gamma-ray telescopes should provide crucial data in the coming decade. As we wrap up, what's the single most important thing listeners should take from this episode?
The biggest lesson is that our understanding of the universe is still incomplete, and the most extreme objects might behave in ways we haven't imagined.
Black holes, which we thought were cosmic vacuum cleaners, might actually be cosmic recycling centers that eventually give back everything they took.
It's a reminder that science progresses by questioning what seems obvious and considering possibilities that seem impossible.
If Rovelli is right, we're living in a universe where information is truly conserved, where nothing is ever really lost, just transformed in ways we're only beginning to understand. Thanks for joining me, Marcus. This has been a fascinating exploration of one of the most mind-bending books in recent physics.
Thanks, Sarah. I hope listeners will pick up Rovelli's book and join the conversation about these extraordinary possibilities.